In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So begins the gospel we know as John. How often do we talk about being in the dark with reference to something? How often do we speak about our society groping in the dark? How often do we think of Paul's words to the Philippians, "Do all things without grumbling and disputing, so that you may shine as lights in the world"? We're entering into a season of lights. We drive down the highway and homes are beginning to be decorated with lights. And no doubt there will be sermons preached on that great light that shone in Bethlehem, even though it probably wasn't right at the time of Jesus' birth, but maybe 12 or so months later. Light. How important light is. So this morning we're going to consider in the Gospel of John the second I am teaching of Jesus regarding himself as being light. So let's turn together, if you please, to the 8th chapter of John. John chapter 8. And we'll read verses 12 through 20, not 12 through 30. Verses 12 through 20. And again, let's read those verses in unison, if we may. John chapter 8, found on page 947 in the Bible that's there provided. John chapter 8, reading in unison, verses 12 through 20. This is the word of the Lord. Then Jesus spoke to them again, say, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light."
You bear witness to yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." And they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words Joseph spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him.
The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. As I mentioned, we'll consider this morning that 12th verse that we read there at the outset. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And as we look at this one verse, we'll look at it under five S's. Five S's. The first one we want to notice is the setting. The setting of this 12th verse. If we go back to the beginning of the 7th chapter, In verse 2, we read, "Now the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, was at hand." This is one of those pilgrim feasts, one of the three pilgrim feasts that the Jewish people celebrated because the Lord inaugurated it for them. This Feast of Tabernacles, or this Feast of Booths, is likened unto a family camping trip. It's sort of likened unto going to Lauraville, for any of you who have been there. Now, Lauraville has the modern amenities, which I really like, and so it's great being there. But on one occasion, I was in Tent City, and that's really more what this tabernacle, this Feast of Tabernacles is about. You go to Jerusalem as a family, and it's not just your family, but it's a family reunion. You come together and you pitch your booth. That is, you put together a four-walled entity with curtains or drapes and then the boughs of trees for the roof. And for 7 days, you're living in this booth and you're going into the temple. And as you go into the temple in Jesus' day, you would go through the court of the Gentiles and you would go into the court of the women. And there in that court of the women, we're told there were three or four 75 feet high candle stands. And those candle stands would be lit, and the light of those candle stands would radiate such that they didn't have them, but we would want to wear sunglasses. It was so bright. During that feast, we're told in Zechariah that the temple was full of water, and the temple was certainly full of light. And so it doesn't surprise us if we were to look at the end of the account there in John chapter 7 about Jesus being there in that temple, that he would say to them, "Come to me and drink of me. I have the water of life." But we're told that it's on that eighth day that the candles were blown out. The light was completely gone. And so it's in that setting now, at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, at the end of those 8 days, that we find Jesus now making this statement. And so the second S is the statement. The statement that Jesus makes: "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Have the light of life. What a light. For 7 days, one needed sunglasses. On the eighth day, no light. And Jesus makes this startling statement: "I am the light of the world." Now, when we think of the word light, of what do we think? Well, I think most of us here this morning certainly would be thinking about how the Bible begins. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." And certainly we praise God, do we not, for light. But it isn't until the fourth day that God puts the sun and the moon and the stars in the heavens, those great lights that we rely upon in our lives. But if we go to the last book in the Bible, if we go to the book of Revelation, and we look at chapter 21 and verse 23, we find these words: "The city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light." Oh, what a light. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, the Spirit hovered. In the beginning, light separated light and darkness, day and night. It's in this light, in Genesis 1:3, and therefore Revelation 21 and verse 23. This light of Genesis 1:1 and this light of Revelation, is this not Jesus, the light of the world? But I must move us on from the setting and the statement to the scope. Jesus claims to be the light of the world. God is light, John will write in his first letter, and in him there is no darkness, 1 John 1:5. Clearly, Jesus knows himself to be God. Without Jesus, there would be no light in the world. Without Jesus, there would be no light in the world. Is that staggering to you? We take light for granted. But Jesus is the light of the world. He's talking about, indeed, the light, and the sun, the moon, the stars, the candles, electrical lights. Is that what he's talking about when he says he's the light of the world? No, he says back in chapter 1, he is the light of men. And so when we think about Jesus being the light of men, what are we thinking about? Well, some of us know that statement. Bruce isn't the brightest light bulb in the room. When we talk about this kind of light, we're talking about the intelligence, the ability to communicate, the ability to think, the ability to reason. Jesus says he is the light of man in the sense that he's the one who enables us to think the thoughts we think, have the mental capacities that we have. Now let's think about that for just a moment. How many in the world recognize that the brightness that they enjoy, their intellectual ability, is because of Jesus? Do we think about that as we live out our lives day after day after day? His being the one who enables us to think. But he also says his light is our life. Now think about that. When we get up in the morning and we go through our day's activities and we spend the day and then lay down at night, do we recognize the very fact that we're able to do that is why? It's because Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, he says, he is the light of the world, he is the life of men. Think what our world would be like. Think about what we would be more like if every day we recognized that the life we live, the things that we are, the fact that we're able to think is true because why? Because I'm human? That's true. But why am I even human? Because Jesus is the light of the world. He enlivens all humanity. He enables all humanity to think. Do we recognize that every day in our Christian lives? Certainly the world doesn't recognize that, does it? And why doesn't the world recognize that? Well, we know the story well. In the beginning, what did our first parents do? In the beginning, Adam and Eve, instead of living according to the light that God had given them about himself and how they were to live, exchanged that truth from God for a lie. And exchanging that truth from God for a lie, what do? They ate of the forbidden fruit, thinking that if we disobey God, we will become wise. I am the light of the world. We don't want the light of the world. And that's the darkness in which the world around us lives, and the light that we bring if we're in Christ. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. The scope of this very word from Jesus is humanity lives because of me. Humanity is able to think because of me. Paul reminds us in the book of Romans, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Why is the world groping in darkness? Because the world rejects the light. So what is the significance of what Jesus has to say when he says, I am the light of the world? Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. It's as we consider this second sentence in the 12th verse that we're struck with the significance of what Jesus is saying. Are we not? When Jesus introduces the word darkness into the mix, when we think about darkness, we certainly think about what it is to be blind. We know that those who are sightless walk about in darkness. And we know that Jesus is the one who is able to dispel that darkness in the sense that he can heal physical blindness so that people can see. But the darkness that Jesus is speaking about is not fundamentally blindness, physical, literal blindness. The darkness that Jesus is talking about is living in that spiritual blindness. Darkness of thinking ability. Darkness of not recognizing Jesus as the one who is the sustainer of all things and the author of all things. Why? Because what has the world done? Paul tells us God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, his eternal power and Godhead. But although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Because society, humankind, suppresses the truth in unrighteousness, that is, suppress the light of the world, God has given up such persons to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Why is it that the world does those things that are not fitting? Because they've given up the knowledge of God that they have. And what a list of things which are not fitting. The lusts of our hearts to the dishonor of their bodies among themselves. And we know that this certainly involves homosexuality, lesbianism, gender identity issues. But listen to what else he says. Being filled with all manner of unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil minds, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. The description of darkness. Knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them. What has our society done? What has the world done? The world has rejected the I Am, the light of the world. The world has rejected the life that they enjoy as being from God. And what does Jesus say? Follow me. Follow me. That's what brings us then to the solution. The solution to the darkness in which humanity finds itself. We're called to follow the light of the world. We're called to follow the I Am, who through the old administration of the covenant of grace led his people as that cloud during the day and pillar of fire at night. Follow that I Am who is the Shekinah who fills the Holy of Holies with its light. You see, at the close of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Sukkot, he declares, I am the light of the world. If we would have the darkness dispelled in our lives, we must follow Jesus. But how many of us fall into the trap of thinking that if I simply follow Jesus, if I simply try to do as Jesus did, if I simply set before myself Jesus as the example of how I'm supposed to live, by doing so, the darkness will be dispelled. But until I was a sophomore at Geneva College, that's the life I was living. Believing that if I lived according to the Christian world and if I followed Jesus as my great exemplar, I would have eternal life. I would be in the light. But that kind of lifestyle is a lifestyle that's being lived in the darkness. In order for Jesus to truly be the light of my life, I needed to understand by acknowledging that he is the one by acknowledging he is who he says he is. That's it. So I first of all acknowledge he is who he says he is. Okay? The second is I accept that he is who he says he is. And that's where many people are. Yes, he's the light of the world.
Indeed, he knows himself to be the Son of God. But do I abandon myself into his care and keeping? Do I repent of my sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who died to save me from my sin? Do I have that light that comes because of the good news of Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross? Have I recognized my need for a Savior? My life is in darkness. I'm rejecting the I am. I'm rejecting my life. I'm rejecting my ability to think. I think I can do it because I'm human. The source, the solution to the darkness is embracing the Lord Jesus Christ. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in its wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. This is what Malachi tells Israel they will be if indeed they embrace the I am. Read the rest of Malachi. Listen to what Paul says to the Corinthians in his second letter, chapter 4 and verse 6. For is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a light. But Matthew goes on and says in the 13th chapter in the 43rd verse, then the righteous will shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Are we listening? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you a follower of Jesus? If yes, you are shining as light in this crooked and perverse generation. Is what God says to the Philippians true in our lives, that we might shine as lights in the world? Are we doing all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault? In other words, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, are we truly working out our own salvation with fear and trembling? For it is God who works in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. What a light. Do you know the one who stated, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. If this is the one that we truly do know, if we truly are those who are following him because we've repented of our sin and we're living as faithful children of God, if we recognize the very breath that we take day in and day out, the very ability that we have to think, is because of Jesus, then he tells us we are to come to this table where we would proclaim his death until he comes again, that we might be fortified in that good news of our salvation in Jesus Christ, that we know him who is the I am, light of the world, and we go out into the darkness and we shine as lights. How? By doing things without grumbling and disputing, by being those who know our faults are forgiven in Christ Jesus, and the good that we're able to do, we do because we're in Him who is the light of the world. And as we do that, we call our neighbors, our children, indeed the world, to that light that everyone is going to try to set before people in the lights that they'll put out. And talking about that light that led the wise men to Jesus. But are we truly united to Him who is the light of the world, such that when the world looks at us, they might be tempted to put on sunglasses, because we radiate the glory and the salvation that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. Oh, what a light. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for opening our hearts, for taking away the blindness of our eyes, so that we would behold Jesus, the light of the world, so that we would truly follow Him, as we would deny ourselves, take up that cross, and walk in the way of everlasting life. And so, Father, may we who are in Christ be lights to those around us in such a way that they would be pleased to ask us what it is that makes us the kind of people that we are. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.